Radio.
Hello and welcome to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast to bring you beginner and advanced knowledge of cryptocurrency and blockchain, analyses of cryptocurrency markets, and discussions on growing a business within the crypto space. Stay tuned and stay CryptoCurrent.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. Your host here, Richard Carthon. And today, a special guest all the way from the UK, all the way out in London. We have Kingsley with Susie Chain. Kingsley, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Richard. Thanks very much for having me.
Of course, man. Well, I know you got some really interesting things that you're working on with Susie Chain. But before we dive into that, can you like tell me a little bit about yourself? Can you give me a little bit of background?
Yes, of course. Yeah. So as Richard said, I'm Kingsley Hendricks. I've been working in IT for nearly two decades. And over that time, I've worked on a vast array of products, many different business sectors. And particularly the last 8 to 9 years, I've been working mostly in banking. I really love working on products that have the potential to massively improve or revolutionize something. A good example of this is a product I worked on in the private wealth area for a global bank. It was an awesome product. We won a whole stack of internal awards for both the product and the agile delivery process we used. So kind of two different sets of awards. I think now more than ever, I'm still hugely enthusiastic about the future of technology to improve our lives in many ways. And I think even going back through the last 10, 15 years of working in IT, I've seen a lot of improvement, loads of new apps coming out. I've been part of building a lot of those apps and a lot of internal systems for banking, which have really improved and streamlined things. And I've also got this kind of relentless drive and ambition to immerse myself in technology, and a passion to express myself through programming and development. So most of my background, my years have been spent looking into technology, playing around and developing things in different languages, looking at niche languages, and just basically having a huge amount of fun, because that's what I'm all about. The technology for me is what drives me. It's not just my day job. It's something right. that I do all the time.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. You're going to do what you're passionate about and work on really cool things. And the fact that you've been working on, basically you're saying, making very secure wallets for the last 20 years is highly impressive. Like, obviously, before even getting into the crypto space, blockchain, what have you, I mean, you've been working on what sounds like revolutionary tech for a long time. And so, like, as you started to dive into this and you said you got awards for your agile practice and processes and everything else in it, at what point did you get introduced into the cryptocurrency and blockchain space?
Well, the very first time I heard about Bitcoin was probably sometime, I guess, in 2011, I think. And just hearing about it, I thought it was totally awesome, like a totally awesome idea. But at that time, I didn't really appreciate the underlying blockchain technology it was built on. And I, like most other people, were drawn mostly to the cryptocurrency aspect. And I was really interested to find out how the whole thing worked and if there really was a future in cryptocurrency. So a group of us, we decided to try out mining. And I think, like many people did, we ordered a pretty expensive custom mining rig from China. Mm-hmm. And it took actually a long, long time to arrive. I think it took over 9 months to arrive.
Wow.
And I think there was, in the space, there was a lot of controversial things going on at the time with mining equipment. Being mined on first and then sold on. So maybe something like that was happening. But I do remember we had to wait a long, long time. I think around that time, one Bitcoin was something like £600 or something like that.
Wow.
So after setting it up at a friend's house, it was super noisy. So one of my friends luckily decided to take the hit and have it in his house. So we remained on that for several months until the cost of electricity outweighed the potential income. And to be honest, at this point, after taking into account the cost of the mining rig, we were like at a loss, really. So we packed up the rig. I totally forgot about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency for a while. But it had planted some kind of seed. And so back in 2015, when Ethereum started to get on the radar, I started getting interested again. And I started helping out on lots of different blockchains, some of the popular blockchain support channels on Slack, just to sort of get in and see what it was all about. And I was totally amazed at the level of scamming and fraud that was going on. People would be complaining they had all their coins stolen in many different ways, from being careless with their private keys or having them stolen from cloud platforms or through social engineering or by scam clones of popular online wallets. So all these things were going on. And this was my first real experience of the cryptocurrency aspect. And I found that I was much more interested in the blockchain aspect, the tech underneath. And a bit like Ethereum, I wanted to see if you could do more with it than just transfer coins around. Right. And this is where I really started to get into decentralized applications and smart contracts and finding other data kind of uses for blockchain rather than just sending coins around. Gotcha. Yeah, so that's how I got into it, really.
Wow. So all the way back in 2011, back when Bitcoin was about 600 pounds, and then you did the mining, and then you decided to put that on a hold, then you learned more about Ethereum, got into some Slack channels, really started enjoying the development side of it. So now you're interested, your interest peaked, and you're like, okay, how do I get involved? So tell us about that transition into Sushi Chain. So like, what is Sushi Chain and how did you come up with it in the name?
Okay, well, I'll start with the name because pretty much everyone asks me about the name. And the main reason for the name Sushi Chain is that I love sushi and I love blockchains, and this seemed like an awesome name to me. It's quite simple. Really. It's a blend of two things that I really love. And someone also once asked me, what's Sushi Chain got to do with sushi? And I replied, well, nothing at all. We don't sell sushi in the same way Apple doesn't sell fruit. But you'll remember the name, won't you? And he had to agree. So the name is a little bit different to a lot of the tech kind of abstract names that you hear in the space. And it's just my personal preferences, my love of sushi and my love of blockchains. That's the reason for the name.
Clever.
So about the chain itself. So as I was saying, I had a lot of experiences with the cryptocurrency aspect, and I got really interested in doing other things with blockchain. And I wanted to see if I could create some decentralized applications that I could use for various different things. And I couldn't really get to grips with building the kind of applications I wanted to build on the existing platforms that were out there. I mean, I could build some apps, but I wanted something really smooth, really simple and clear, and that didn't require the users to have a deep understanding of wallets, of blockchain, of cryptocurrency. I wanted something that people could use and not have to learn from scratch about the whole sector. So I started coming up with the idea of a platform where people could come and build decentralized apps, a bit like you would build them on other platforms, but with some various set of features that would make it easier to use. So the first thing I came across was how should we go with consensus? Should we do proof of stake? Should we do proof of work? Should we do proof of, whatever the new thing is? So we decided to go with CPU only mining on proof of work, because that gives, it's a proven, a tried and tested way of doing consensus. And restricting it to CP only, it gives a lot of people an easier entrance into mining and into participating. Like they don't have to go and buy expensive rigs and wait 9 months to get it from China or wherever it's coming from. They right. can just run it on any computer, you know, and get some benefit out of it.
Right.
And then Sushi Chain also, along with the centralized app platform, which is its core, we added a few extra things like human readable addresses so that you don't have to remember huge, long alphanumeric strings. You can choose your own address. We also added two-factor authentication, which is another thing which contributes to a huge amount of fraud and scamming in the cryptocurrency space. And our approach is to build it in low level into the blockchain. So a lot of the things on Sushi Chain, a lot of the features have come from the experiences of finding out what the problems are that I saw with building and running decentralized apps on other platforms. So it seemed very difficult. It seemed pretty expensive. The whole smart contracts thing is an awesome idea, but it does have quite a high level of risk, and it is pretty expensive to get those right. And the blockchains, they can suffer from a large amount of fraud and scamming. So some of the features built into Sushi Chain address some of these problems. So we want it to be a low-cost alternative to build dApps and to operate dApps. We want it to be low-risk. And instead of smart contracts, we have something called smart assets, which is similar, but it's restricted to data. So you can't do any autonomous financial transaction. It's all based around data transactions and data mutation.
Okay.
And that is more, it's definitely more secure, and it's a lower cost. And it, I think it allows you to have more creativity when you're building your dApps. There's many smart contract based dApps. You have to kind of fit in with the smart contract aspect of it, even if you don't really need those particular features, but you do still want some autonomous logic. The only way in many chains you can get it is by going through the smart contract route.
Yeah. So you brought up a really good point here, and I want you to kind of attack this a little bit more. So just so I have it clarified, you know, a lot of the dApps are built based off of the Ethereum blockchain, right? Off of the smart contracts and how that blockchain system is set up. So what Sushi Chain has done has, you're not using that framework. You're using your own framework that's making it a little bit easier and is giving a lot more flexibility to how developers are able to build on top of your product.
Yes, exactly. So we just to make it clear, we didn't fork any other existing project. Sushi Chain is written from scratch in the Crystal programming language, and it's its own unique thing. So we have our own ways of building dApps.
That's amazing. That's really impressive. And that just goes to show, like, you must have a really awesome and creative team working behind this, because I know that is no small feat. But it's cool that, and it brings up a really good point of, you know, decentralized apps, right? So we're trying to get to mass adoption. We're trying, as a, you know, cryptocurrency blockchain community, for everyone to be able to use it. You know, when the App Store originally launched, you know, it was this really cool, awesome thing, but a lot of people when they first got in, you know, didn't really understand how to use the framework. But over time, as more and more people started building on it and it got better and better and refined over time, it's, you know, just gotten so much more usability and mass adoption. So I see decentralized apps as, you know, new and emerging, and they're trying to pick up adoption, but how do you think they're going to shape the future of how apps are created?
Well, I think definitely there is a huge interest in apps, whether it be decentralized or non-decentralized. Actually, the smartphone revolution, where there's an app store and you just have apps on your phone and desktop apps, that was already gaining massive popularity. and now distributed app development. If you look back towards the start of Ethereum's sort of rise, I think back in 2015, 2016, there was very little dApp development going on. And then something happened between 2017 and now, where we had this massive explosion of popularity of people getting into dApps, starting to develop them, starting to find out what their capabilities are. And it's quite interesting to see the sectors in which this dApp development has mostly been focused on. So the majorities of the spaces have been in the gaming, in the gambling, in the social, in the finance sort of sectors of dApps. And they're getting more and more popular. And one of the good things about centralized apps is the decentralization aspect. So you can hold your own data. It's not like a big corporation is holding all your data and you have to struggle to get that data from them. And also the other downside of a central data cache is hackers and scammers can target that as a central space to hack. And once they get into that space, they've got a huge cache of information that they can just take. But with decentralization, they have to target specific small decentralized locations, like individuals, for example.
Right.
And that's a lot more difficult. That's a lot more expensive. So there's a level of security that comes with decentralization and a level of control over data which comes with decentralization. And I think those two things together are what's really going to push the adoption of dApps into the future. And we'll see a whole new stack of dApps coming out which really leverage these ideas of being able to have more control over the data, have more security by controlling things just as an individual, rather than relying on a large corporation to kind of do that on your behalf.
Right.
I think it's not going to be a smooth ride there, though, because people in general are very, very used to someone else doing everything for them. So someone else holding their data, controlling their data, doing things for them. And now this is going to shift things in the other direction. So they're going to have to be more aware about holding on to things and keeping things safe, like private keys, wallets, addresses, things like that.
Right. And there's definitely layers to that I think developers and how dApps are just foundationally created are going to have to think through. But once it is figured out in such a way to where ease of use and for people who don't understand like how to put all these different things in different places and you figure out within your dApp how to do it for them, I think that's what we need to like be moving towards. And I think a lot of people or a lot of dApps are moving towards that kind of model. But you know, we're still at the beginning. So I think dApps, and thank you for elaborating on that. I think that was really well said of why dApps are going to become more popular, why they're going to be safer, and you're going to see kind of this transition over to more decentralized apps as opposed to the current centralized model that's out there. So as you said earlier, you have been in the cryptocurrency and blockchain space for a while now, and you get really excited about a lot of the different emerging techs that are out there. So, you know, what are some of the different blockchain projects that are out that have you excited?
So some of the concepts that get me really excited are when people work together to achieve something that has a wider benefit. So be that a social benefit or a financial benefit or some kind of working together for a better future. So there are a few projects around in the space which are looking at those types of things. So one of the projects such as Polkadot, which has been on the horizon for a while, is a blockchain interoperability project. That's looking pretty interesting. When I was last year at some of the big expos, I went to the Silicon Valley Expo and I went to the Malta Blockchain Summit last year, and they were both awesome. And I got to see very varied different types of projects there. And there are a lot of projects that focused on humanitarian aspects, like ending poverty, ending famine, things like that. So I think those types of projects could have, you know, massive benefits in the future if they just keep going and achieve their goals. And I think as well that it goes for things like Sushi Chain as well. We, like I said earlier, we're not a fork of another project. So we have the concepts and we've recreated them, which gives us a lot of freedom to choose the things that we like and improve things that we see need improving, but really build something over time and provide benefit back to the communities that come and use the platforms. We're not like, Sushi Chain, for example, is not like a large money-driven corporate institution. It's very much a passion, enthusiasm-driven project, but it does have a solid grounding and a commercial reason to exist. And so projects like that, I get very excited about.
Definitely. And I think, obviously what y'all are doing is really spectacular, and what y'all are moving towards and what you're building towards is getting ready for the next wave of like what's coming on in both the crypto and blockchain space. So, you know, what are some things that are on the horizon in both cryptocurrency and blockchain space that you're on the lookout for?
So one of the things that is a problem and can cause various knock-on effects is the perception of cryptocurrency, the perception of blockchain. So one of the things I'm looking forward to in general is better and clearer regulation so that blockchain projects and cryptocurrency projects can start to build a credible and safe reputation. So big players in the industry like IBM, Intel, etc., they have brand names already that support them. But smaller startups into the space, they don't have that kind of support. And it's a very interesting space to move into where there's not much regulation in many areas. And it's hard to know for the general population whether something is a real, solid, genuine, reputable project, or whether it's just a scam or something like that. So I think clear regulation will help those projects, which are the real credible ones, like Sushi Chain, for example, find their space and be better protected so that we can build something credible.
Absolutely. Regulation is so crucial to all of this. And I think we're finally getting to a point internationally and definitely, even here in the States, where a lot of the governments are going to have to definitively like make a stance, just because this is just picking up so much steam and momentum, and more people are becoming aware and getting involved in the space. So I definitely think that is something to look out for and is going to be very important in how the future is shaped. But Kingsley, wow, thank you for giving us some background on you, telling us about one, the amazing project that is Sushi Chain, and like all the great things y'all are doing with dApps and building this new enterprise world. But what is a final thought that you want to leave with all of our listeners today that they can take away and try to build upon, either they're the curiosity of what y'all are working on or amazing things that are happening in the space right now?
Okay, I would say to start with that blockchain right now, it's not set in stone. Cryptocurrency right now, it's not set in stone. So there will be an evolution of blockchain, and this will happen through change, through adaptation, through forward thinking. So if you are interested in this space, then you should do something, you should get involved, you should try and be a driving force in the blockchain revolution. I think if you have cool ideas, you have interesting things you want to do, there's a lot of scope in this space to explore those. So like we're doing with Sushi Chain, if anyone's interested in learning more about Sushi Chain or getting involved, then we're very open to having people come help us out, come talk to us. You can find us on Twitter, chat to us on Telegram. You can go visit the site, you can go and watch our conveyor belt on the site, our little sishis traveling along the conveyor belt. And I think, you know, we are a project that we will be around for a long time because we are a project made from passion and enthusiasm. And of course, all projects do need funding and they do need help. So, you know, we're definitely also on the lookout for help with funding, for help with development, for help with marketing, all those things. Feel free to contact me or come find us on our social media. Awesome. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. And so tell us, what are those handles are, what is the website that they can go to?
So the website is sushichain.io. So you can go there, and on there we have linked our white paper, we have linked our Twitter and our Telegram. Our Twitter is sushichainhq. If you want to come join us on Twitter, and if you want to chat to us on Telegram, we're also sushichainhq on Telegram as well.
Awesome. Well, again, Kingsley, thank you so much for joining us today and for, you know, sharing everything that you have going on there, and also for just opening people's minds to what's going on in the dApp world. So everyone, thank you for tuning in. Stay CryptoCurrent.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of CryptoCurrent. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency. You'll receive daily emails Monday through Friday that are personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Are you an accredited investor looking to invest in cryptocurrency? Crescent City Capital can help. Go to crescentcitycapital.com for more information. If you're finding value in our content, please take 5 minutes to leave a 5-star review and a great comment. Also, please make sure to share this podcast with others. Hello, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the quality of this podcast. I can only thank my amazing producer, Andrew DeRitter, with DeRitter Productions, who has put this together. If you have any podcast, visual, or video needs, please go to DeRitterProductions.com. That's DERITTER Productions.com.
This has been another episode of CryptoCurrent, bringing you one step closer to becoming a crypto and blockchain aficionado. We look forward to giving you the latest in crypto news and analyses next week. Stay CryptoCurrent.
Please use available exits now.